It's a pleasure to be with you all here this evening. Thank you for coming out tonight to hear a portion of God's Word. It's my hope and prayer that this study that I have prepared for you this evening is of beneficial to you in your spiritual walk and edifying to you, but first and always, most importantly, is in 100% accordance with God's Word, His will, and His way. The topic of tonight's study is a debate between Sabbath versus Sunday and the confusion that revolves around the two, a case for understanding. And it's my hope that tonight we can see by the solid and sure authority that comes from Scripture, we can have a ruling as to whether or not one should be followed versus the other, and how are they related to one another or not related to one another. So maybe you didn't know that there is confusion concerning the Sabbath. As I talked with people and visited with people, I realized and I've done the studies, I realized over the past 10 years or so, many, many more churches have started to either offer or go solely to Saturday worship services. You have groups like the Seventh-day Adventists, Messianic Jews, Seventh-day Baptists, Worldwide Church of God, non-denominational or so-called churches, and many others who are going back to Saturday worship. And the question is, why are they doing that? Well, they're doing that in order to try to follow a part of the Sabbath, which was instituted during the Old Testament as to be on the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. And so to find the truth about the Sabbath, we should start at the very beginning. That's a good place to start. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, God creates all the universe and everything in it. And thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This is from the English Standard Version of the Scripture. So creation is God in 6 days creating everything known to man, the entire universe, all the heavens and all the earths, the seas and everything in them. And then on the seventh day, God rests. And this is the Sabbath. Now the Greek for Sabbath is Shabbat, with the root of that word being the literal meaning for seventh day or Shebe'e. And the action to rest on the Sabbath is called Shabbat, which we'll see what Shabbat is here in just a little bit. Later in Scripture, as God is speaking to the Israelites and to Moses, there's the institution of the Sabbath. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, it reads, "Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." And so we can see the creation of the Sabbath in this passage as God commands the Israelites to rest on the Sabbath or to follow on Shabbat. The Sabbath is the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments, the first three being, "Have no other gods before me, not make unto thee any graven image, and thirdly, not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," followed by, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." And it's throughout Scripture numerous times that the Israelites are told to keep the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 31, verse 12 through 17, "And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath, whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So here again we see God stressing the importance of the Sabbath, so important that if the people of Israel do not follow it, they are to be put to death in front of the congregation of Israel. Very important, and throughout this passage and many, many other times in the Old Testament, in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, we see this repeated again and again and again. It's not something to be taken lightly by the Israelites. It's to be taken of utmost importance. The Israelites at times did not follow the Sabbath, though. During the Exodus period, during the Kingdom of Israel period, and even after they were exiles, as we can see in books like Nehemiah, and they had to go back to the ways of following the Sabbath. There was punishment for not following the Sabbath. We've seen that that punishment was death, but it was more than just the words stating you will die. People actually died following this or not following the Sabbath. In Numbers chapter 15, verse 32 through 36, we read, "While the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him in custody because it had not been made clear what should be done to him. And the Lord said to Moses, 'The man shall be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp.' And all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones as the Lord commanded Moses." This is a serious deal. The guy was going outside to gather sticks, whether to cook some food, to keep warm, whatever the reason, but he disobeyed the Sabbath. And thus, he was put to death as the Lord commanded. So this is a serious deal, and throughout the rest of the Old Testament, you see warnings warning the people of Israel they are to follow the Sabbath. And when Israel did not keep the Sabbath, there was punishment, devastation, and the wrath of God ensued them. So with all these warnings, we've seen it's of utmost importance that the Israelites follow the Sabbath, but was there a purpose to it? Thankfully, Scripture provides that as well. There is a purpose. We can see that. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12 through 15, we'll skip down to verse 15. After speaking of what the Sabbath is, God says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." This is actually Moses speaking to the Israelites. They were to remember. That's what the Sabbath was for. It was a day of remembrance that they would remember not just creation, when God created the entire earth and all creation in 6 days and then rested on the seventh day, but also they are to remember their God as their deliverer from their slavery and bondage in Egypt. Without him, they would still be in Egypt, slaves to their own exile in Egypt. They were to remember the deliverance that the Lord provides. Now, the purpose of the Sabbath we've seen is to remember. It's also to rest, as they were to rest physically on the Sabbath day. They were to focus in thought and mind on remembrance, on the wonders that God has done for them and the world. They were to be a community of unity, resting and thinking on the things of God, and be joyful in their remembrance of what God had done for them. It was a day of holiness and rest. That was the purpose of the Sabbath. And with this purpose, the Sabbath was historically followed for many years and many generations, and to this day is still followed by many Jews and many other people. Now, the Sabbath, when you rest, was not just the complete freedom to do whatever you wanted to do before and after Sabbath services. No, it's a completely different way of living for a short period of time. I apologize for the image on the screen being small, but this image shows 39 of the things that, whether according to Scripture, specifically stated in Scripture, or also added on later by Jewish tradition, you were not to do on the Sabbath. And those include sowing, plowing, reaping, binding sheaves, threshing, winnowing, sorting, grinding, sifting, kneading, baking, shearing, wool, whiting it, combing it, dyeing it, spinning it, weaving it, making two looms, weaving through threads, and so forth. There's a lot of things you could not do on the Sabbath. One of those things is you cannot walk over a certain distance, which was anywhere between 2/3 and 3/4 of a mile. So in other words, you cannot walk more than a distance from this door out in the back to the Canes just down the street on 82nd. That was all the distance you could walk in that one day. And if you walked more than that, then you were to be stoned to death with stones. It's pretty severe. But thus was the Sabbath. Also on the Sabbath, as cultures grew, technologies grew, and things changed in the world, those who still follow the Sabbath have added more things to the list of things you cannot do on the Sabbath. Those include emails, any time spent on computers or screens, running errands, driving, cooking, any use of technology, because in some ways, those break some of the essential means of following through on Shabbat or following the Sabbath, including lighting a flame or extinguishing a flame. If you start a car, you light a flame, thus you're not following the Sabbath, thus you're stoned to death with stones. Again, this is how the Sabbath works. It's a completely different way of life for a short period of time. Creativity stopped when God rested, and thus we stop creating, as one Jewish rabbi describes. The purpose of the Sabbath is to make a sort of sacred time almost. It's not just Saturday either. In Scripture, we can see in Leviticus chapter 23, it is from sundown Friday to sundown or Saturday nightfall. Or, as Jewish tradition supposedly clarifies, from Friday evening when the first three stars are seen, and to Saturday night, also when the first three stars are seen. And there's many other aspects to the Sabbath as well. One important part of traditional Jewish Sabbath is the lighting of candles. As you can see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. In remembrance of that act of God creating the light as well as separating the darkness, they have a lot of candles and a whole ceremony revolving these candles and different prayers such as Kiddushes and Havdalahs and so many other things that were added into the tradition of the Sabbath. And if you are to follow traditional Sabbath, if you don't do these things, the same punishment that awaited that guy back in Numbers awaits those who don't follow the traditional Sabbath as well. This is what it traditionally means to Shabbat. And even if you take out all the tradition and everything that's been added on through the centuries, to Shabbat is much more than simply taking a nap in the day. It's much more than that. It is an intentional rest in remembrance of what God has done, literally taking count of every step you do so that you follow God. And then, that's what the Sabbath is. And so we come to the Sunday dilemma. Now look at what we have today. Now tonight's Wednesday night, but every Sunday we come together as a congregation to worship God, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to remember the great deeds that he has done, and to serve him. We come together as a congregation, but we do it on a Sunday. Where did the Sabbath go? If you look at what we do today and you look at the Sabbath, there's little to no similarities there. Very little. And oftentimes, this is when people will stop, and this is where the confusion sets in. And they look and they see the commandments in the Old Testament and what we do today. And if the Old Testament was all there was, yes, what we do today is wrong. Very wrong, because that's what the Old Testament requires of those who abide by its laws. This is where the confusion exists. But this has not been a new confusion, not just in the past 10 years. Christians throughout time, throughout history, have wondered if they should be following more of the Jewish traditions. So where do we find services on Sunday? Well, we could ask the question, is Sunday the new Sabbath? Would it make sense that somewhere in Scripture the Sabbath was just moved to the first day of the week? No, that doesn't make any sense at all. In the root definition of what the Sabbath is, it is Shabbat, the seventh day. It's not the first day of the week. It is the seventh day. And as we've seen, to Shabbat is much more than coming to church services. If we came to church services together on the Saturday in order to try to follow the Shabbat, we all probably started a car to get here. You lit a flame. Probably you're doing other things that are not following through on what the Sabbath is or the Shabbat. So no, Sunday is not the new Sabbath. People also will ask, did Constantine move the Sabbath? Now, Constantine is a Roman emperor during the early 300 AD, and he was a large promoter of Christianity. He really promoted its use throughout the Roman Empire. And during one of his public government statements, he said the following: "On the venerable day of the sun," meaning on the first day of the week, or Sunday, "let the magistrate and people residing in cities rest, and let all workshops be closed. In the country, however, persons engaged in agricultural work may freely and lawfully continue their pursuits, because it often happens that another day is not so suitable for grain growing or for vine planting, lest by neglecting the proper moment for such operations, the bounty of heaven should be lost." And so we can see here that in 321 AD, Constantine put in legal writing, Christians are to worship on Sunday. But did this really change the Sabbath to Sunday? No, because even before Constantine was born, even in the early hundreds, Christians were meeting on Sunday. Constantine just put it in government documentation. He didn't change anything. He did not institute the new worship that we have on Sunday, and he did not change the Sabbath. I guess you can't blame a politician for everything. Did the Catholics change the Sabbath? The answer to that's also no, and for the same reason. Even though the Catholics in their early history were large proponents of forcing people to worship on Sunday versus Saturday, they didn't change it. Before they had even come about, Christians worshiped on Sunday. We can see this in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament. And so when you look at these things, it can almost get to a point of hopelessness or confusion. Why do we do what we do today? If we just look at this, it makes no sense. This is why people are confused at this point. And you have groups like the Seventh-day Adventists or Seventh-day Baptists or anyone who simply gets together to try to worship on Saturday for the purpose of holding on to the Sabbath, and they're not clearly understanding that that is no longer needed. And throughout history, there's been many, confusion, many fights among so-called religious communities, should there be Sabbath or Sunday. And it literally becomes a laughingstock to the world why this is such a big deal when God simply gives us the key to clarity in his word. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, we can read, "And he came to Nazareth," speaking of Jesus, "where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read." Now this is interesting, as Jesus himself met on the Sabbath. Now you might say, well, the new law had not fully come about. Yes, it had not yet been finished. Christ Jesus had not yet lived his whole life here on earth. Thus far, we've still seen no reasons why we have services on Sunday and not Shabbat. As we've seen, those are two different things, but also they weren't simply moved to a different day. We can't just pick and choose verses. We have to keep looking. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, it reads, "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.' He said to them," Jesus said, "'Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." So in this passage, we see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the perfect man, working on the Sabbath. Now, he's not just working mindlessly. He's doing good deeds. And we can see numerous times in Scripture, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the Gospels, Jesus doing good deeds on the Sabbath. And his disciples also did good deeds on the Sabbath. They weren't going to starve. They were going to feed themselves that they might serve others. Throughout Jesus' ministry, we can see him working, healing those who were in pain and suffering. And thus, we can, following the example of Jesus, do good on the Sabbath. Good works are not prohibited. And yet this still does not show a transition to Sunday. as of now, there's still just the Sabbath. And so let's think back to the Old Testament. What was the Sabbath for? The Sabbath was for remembrance. On the seventh day, why was it on the seventh day? Because God rested on the seventh day from creation. So it would stand to reason, if there is a biblical explanation of why we meet on Sundays, then there is yet another creation, in a sense, in which is fulfilled that we celebrate this creation, remember this creation, on the first day of the week. What was that creation? What was this great event that happens? That event is the life, the purpose, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, came down to this earth to live the life of a man, and he lived it perfectly, facing all the temptations this world had to offer, and he did not fall to one. And yet, despite being perfect, he died the death of a criminal, of the greatest of criminals, the cruel death on the cross. And after he had died, some friends of his then took him down from the cross and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath that day, they rested according to the commandment. So Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, bringing forth, fulfilling the old law and bringing forth the new covenant through him, is dead. What do his followers do? They still followed the Sabbath. Now you could say they didn't have to follow the Sabbath because of the new covenant they had through Jesus Christ. But that covenant wasn't fully fulfilled yet. They knew it would be, and they should believe that it should be because it would be. That being in the resurrection of Christ. And yet, they didn't fully understand, whether they didn't fully understand this, or simply they couldn't yet comprehend that Jesus Christ would rise, they still followed on the Sabbath. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. This is the women that followed Jesus. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But that when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. As they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." Christ is risen. Death is defeated. And Jesus rose on the first day of a new week, Lord over the new creation, the new covenant through him. Sabbath was the completion of the old creation. Sunday is the beginning of the new. We are no longer bound by the old law. Even the Ten Commandments themselves no longer bind us as they were stated in the Old Testament. We are no longer under the law, as we can see in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. However, all points of the Old Testament Ten Commandments were restated except for one, that one being the fourth commandment, or remember the Sabbath. We as Christians, we as followers of our risen Savior and Lord Christ Jesus, no longer need to Shabbat. We no longer need to follow the Sabbath and remember the old ways. Rather, we are to live in the new creation and serve God. And we do so on the first day of the week. We can see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all Gospels state Jesus rose on the first day of the new week. Sunday becomes the day of remembrance and observance for the resurrection. And Christians afterwards, in Acts and 1 Corinthians, and throughout history since, have been met together to serve God, to remember what he did on the cross, to remember the death, burial, and resurrection, the blood that was spilt and the body that was pierced. We remember that as one mind together, the body of Christ, and we do so on Sunday. This is why we meet on Sunday. Because Christ's resurrection brought about something so much greater. So what have we learned? In Galatians chapter 4, verse 9 through 10, it reads, "But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. We no longer need to remember the festivals, the years, the holidays, the days, the Sabbaths of the old law. We don't need to go back to those ways of old, because in doing so, we deny the power of Christ. We say that Christ's sacrifice was not sufficient enough for me, so I have to cling to something else that God had. I have to cling to the Old Testament. And when you do that, you're denying that Christ is sufficient for us. And when we serve Him, we are obeying Him, and we don't need to follow two masters. We simply need to follow our Master, Christ Jesus. We would have to follow all of the old law if we were to cling to it. It's not just a deal where you can look at the Sabbath and pick out a piece and say, I want to remember the rest of it and not remember everything else that comes along with it. You can't just even take the Sabbath and say, I'm not going to do the sacrifices or the festivals or all of that. You have to take the law as a whole. Otherwise, you're breaking both the old law and Christ Jesus' law. Rather, we have Christ who fulfilled the old law. If you truly want to follow the old law, then simply you have to follow Christ. And you do so because the old law was a shadow of the things to come, the substance of which was Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17, it reads, "By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgments on you in questions of food or drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." If you want to cling to a shadow, you won't have anything, because there's nothing there without the substance. Before the substance, the shadow was necessary in order to see what was coming, that being Christ Jesus. But now that we have Christ Jesus, cling to Him. Cling to the promises in Him, the sacrifice that He made, and we do not need to follow the Sabbath. We do not need to Shabbat. What was to come? Christ Jesus. Now, the purpose of the Sabbath was to rest and to remember. And on Sunday, we also remember. The purpose of the worship service today is to come together in unity with one mind, as one body, the body and mind of Christ Jesus, the body, His church, to remember the sacrifice that He made on the cross, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and the new covenant made with His blood. There are many other things we are to do. We are to have collection as commanded by His apostles. We are to edify one another, to praise God together, and to worship Him with all our might and all our soul. But all of this falls under coming together in unity to remember the sacrifice that He made on the cross. And when we remember that in the proper light, everything else comes. As we are with unity and fellowship, and we remember what He did for us on the cross. And so, while the Sabbath is not Sunday, we can learn from the Sabbath in that also on Sunday we are to remember. We are to remember what Christ did for us and the new creation, the new covenant through Him. Now, again, the purpose of the Sabbath was to remember and rest. Do we have that rest today? Because as we've seen, Jesus did work on the Sabbath. He did good works. Good works aren't ever prohibited. So, do we ever get a rest? And we do. Friends, that rest is found in Christ Jesus. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Perfect rest is found only in Christ Jesus. It's not found in sleep. It's not found in a vacation. It's not found in lack of work or lack of school or anything else this world can offer. It is only found in Christ Jesus. And until you come to Him, you can't be at rest. It's not possible, because there is that deep desire in us, being God's creation, the fingerprints of His handiwork, that we desire to serve our God and have the joys that come with that. Perfect rest is only found in Christ Jesus. And so while Sabbath is not Sunday, and Sunday is not Sabbath, we are still to remember, we are still to rest in Christ Jesus. So I want to leave you with the question, are you treating your Christian walk in the right manner? And I know this is a vague question, but think back to the Israelites who followed the Sabbath. They did everything in their power to make sure they were walking the right steps. Literally, they counted their steps that they may serve God to that amount of diligence. Do we serve God? Do we go about our services? Do we go about the Lord's Supper with the same diligence? With the same mind? With the mindset that our spiritual lives depend on this? Because if we don't, then we are losing something that the Sabbath had going for it. And we should have going for us as we serve God in the new covenant today. We must view our Christian walk with diligence, taking in our every step, our every word, our every thought, that it may all be pointed towards the glory of God. The Israelites viewed their walk with sincerity. Do we do the same? Do we study not just on Sunday, but every day of the week, that we may more and more serve God as He commands us, and every day grow as members of the risen body of Christ in His new creation? Do we do that? And lastly, I leave you with the question, do you rest? Do you have rest? Because true rest is only found in Christ Jesus. And there's many times in my life that I'll assess my life and I think, man, things are just chaotic. Things are not going well. There isn't rest. And all I have to do is pick up the Word of God, read what Christ Jesus has done for me, and you can have calmness of mind and spirit in that. And no matter what is going on in life, no matter what trials or tribulations, no matter what tomorrow holds, you can always have rest in Him. How do you have rest in Him? You serve Him. And to serve Him, you realize what we as human beings have done. We have sinned against our Lord and Creator and rebelled against Him. Thus, we have sinned against our God. The punishment of that is death. And so we realize our sins. We repent of those sins. We confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our God, our Savior. And we die with Him in baptism as we are buried and rise again in newness of life as He did. And then we live life anew, each and every day striving to walk as He walked. And no, we won't be perfect. But when we look at our life with diligence and we look at our life with sincerity, as the Israelites once should have done concerning the Sabbath, as we should do concerning Sunday worship, and as we should do concerning our everyday walk with the fellow believers of God, when we live that life, then and only then can we have the rest that Christ Jesus offers us. And so we give the opportunity anytime, but this opportunity right now especially. If you need the prayers of the church that you don't have that rest, or you would like to have that rest and begin life anew in baptism, serving our God and our Savior, if you need to be baptized or you need the prayers of the church, then we would ask you to come to the front while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.